Welcome to Healthy Aging with South Coast Health, the podcast that shows you how to live a longer and healthier life, showcasing doctors, clinicians, and patient stories. The goal of South Coast Health is to help and inspire you to navigate your health journey with knowledge, comfort, and ease. Hi, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to Healthy Aging with South Coast Health. I'm your host, Patricia Raskin. And today we're talking about multiple sclerosis, MS, and my guests are Dr. Joshua Stone, who earned his medical degree from Pennsylvania State University College of Medicine in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Prior to earning his medical degree, he graduated with his bachelor's degree in biochemistry from Skidmore College in Saratoga Springs, New York. Dr. Stone completed his adult neurology residency, followed by a fellowship in multiple sclerosis, both at Brown University, Rhode Island Hospital. Dr. Stone is passionate about diagnosing and treating multiple sclerosis, among other neuroimmunological diseases and disorders. Dr. Stone's philosophy of care is to provide accurate diagnoses by listening to and getting to know each of his patients as if they were his family. In doing so, he strives to work together with his patients to develop an effective, timely, and personalized treatment plan to get their lives back on track as quickly as possible. And we also have with us a patient of Dr. Stone's, Mia Hardman. So welcome, Mia. Welcome, Dr. Stone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Dr. Stone, tell us about what is MS? What's multiple sclerosis? We hear about it all the time. We see it. But really, what is it and what causes it?
Yeah. So it's a kind of a tricky condition to explain sometimes because it's a little bit esoteric, really. And it's not as simple as like, you know, a broken bone and you can point to it on an x-ray. It can really cause any neurologic symptom. And it's an autoimmune disease, which means your immune system for some reason has decided to basically attack your own body. And in the case of MS, that means the nervous system, the brain and the spinal cord primarily. It can cause a lot of anxiety for patients when they, you know, first develop symptoms and they're not quite sure what's going on. And sometimes symptoms can get ignored too, because the way it presents can really affect two people completely differently.
There are other autoimmune diseases. You know, when I'm thinking of things, I'm just sharing. I'm thinking of things like psoriasis or vitiligo or even Epstein-Barr. How is multiple sclerosis different from other autoimmune diseases?
Yeah, so an example I use sometimes when I'm explaining what MS is to patients is like rheumatoid arthritis, which most people have heard of, which is another autoimmune disease in which, you know, your immune system is basically attacking your joints and causes pain and inflammation and swelling in joints. MS is similar, except it's, you know, the nervous system, the brain and the spinal cord, or even the optic nerve. It can cause vision problems, but it's the nervous system that's being attacked by the immune system rather than like the joints or the skin, for instance.
What causes MS?
Yeah, so we don't really know the exact cause of MS. We know it's an autoimmune disease. There's been a lot of research over the years to try to determine which parts of the immune system are implicated in MS. The more they've learned, it's just become really more and more complicated as time has gone on. So we don't know the exact cause. There's always questions, you know, could this be genetic? We get that question a lot from patients and families. But really having a parent or a sibling with MS only increases the risk to about 2-3%, which really isn't that much higher than, you know, the general population. So there's a lot of other factors, environment or things we haven't, you know, really put our finger on that are, you know, probably implicated in what causes MS.
Yeah. What are typical signs and symptoms of MS?
Yeah, so like I was saying before, it can really cause any neurologic symptom, but it's not just, you know, tingling that comes and goes in your hand or your foot or little things like that. It's usually pretty dramatic the way it presents. Another thing I should mention is that there's different types of MS that you'll hear about. So the most common is called relapsing remitting MS or RRMS, which is what about 80% of people who get diagnosed with MS have. The other forms are referred to as secondary progressive MS or SPMS, and then there's primary progressive MS or PPMS. But it's really kind of a spectrum. You know, they're actually talking about getting rid of these distinctions between the different types of MS even. But for the most part, the way most people will present is, like I was saying, pretty dramatic symptoms. Like an example could be like numbness from your neck down or your waist down or half your body, or, you know, an arm or a leg can get weak, or you could lose vision in one eye. But usually the symptoms, they last, at least to be considered a typical kind of MS attack, the symptoms have to last at least 24 hours. Usually they last for much longer, you know, days or weeks even. And then they'll potentially get worse and then kind of plateau, and they can get better on their own. They can even get completely better, which is why sometimes people ignore it, you know. But it can be totally different from one person to the next. Most people, though, with those symptoms end up presenting to the hospital for the most part.
Yeah. So it's really a neurological disease as well as an autoimmune disease, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, I want to ask Mia. Mia, I know you're a patient of Dr. Stone. What brought you to his office?
Oh, yeah. So this past April, I was on vacation with my husband, and I started with those strange sensations that Dr. Stone was just mentioning. I had never experienced these symptoms before, but half my body couldn't regulate temperature. So cold felt hot and hot felt cold on my skin. Also, I had some numbness on my left side and some tingles, but it wasn't too terrible. After we had gotten back, though, it started to get more intense. My left arm started getting weak. I couldn't lift it even a couple of inches. My left leg started to get really weak as well, and I started dragging it while I was walking. It was very scary. I ended up at the ER, and I was admitted to the hospital, like Dr. Stone said, for probably a little under a week, I'd say. I needed assistance walking and balancing, and I was in really tough shape physically and mentally. So we did like a large slew of testing, MRIs, CAT scans, 1 million labs. And the MRIs showed that there was a pretty large lesion on my cervical spine, which was affecting my ability to control pretty much my left side of my body. So it did show some lesions as well in my brain, but that cervical spine one was the problem child. So the neurologist at the hospital had recommended that I see an MS specialist at South Coast to officially diagnose me with what they thought might be going on. So I scheduled an appointment with Dr. Stone, and luckily I was able to get in with him really, really quickly, which was super helpful.
Yeah. Dr. Stone, talk about your meeting with Mia and kind of how you evaluated her and explain to her the diagnosis.
So unfortunately, you know, we don't get a ton of time with any of our patients, really. You know, we could always use more time, especially to go over, you know, everything she just explained that happened to her in the hospital. But, you know, as best as I can, I try to, you know, number one, provide reassurance, because this is all very new and very scary to patients when this happens and they have a lot of questions. And especially if the diagnosis is a little unclear at first, I mean, that just can produce a lot more anxiety, as you might imagine. So number one, we just try to go over everything that happened, you know, from the top, go over all the imaging, all the test results, and try to put together, you know, best that I can tell what I think might have happened. And if I feel like she meets the criteria for the diagnosis of MS at that point, we talk about that, and we talk about potential treatment options, even right then and there at the first visit. But in Mia's case, it was a little more tricky. She didn't meet all the criteria based on the imaging and all the other tests that had been done. And so we had to do some additional tests, including a spinal tap, a lumbar puncture, not my favorite. I don't like to even have to recommend it to patients.
They were really fun, Dr. Stone.
But, you know, sometimes it is necessary and can provide additional information for the diagnosis. So,
Mia, how did you handle this? First of all, it was a shock. It was new. You didn't expect it. And then after seeing Dr. Stone and following recommendations, How were you able to handle this process and get the support you need emotionally as well?
Yeah, so this whole thing was a huge shock. I think a lot of people have these symptoms and sensations for a long time, and they search for this diagnosis. But in my case, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. So it was very tough. I was this huge ball of anxiety through this whole ordeal. I was, you know, super scared about what was going on, what I would be diagnosed with, if it was MS, like how would my life be? Would I be in a wheelchair before my 37th birthday? You know, but thankfully for me, Dr. Stone, as you can tell in his voice, has this like incredibly calming demeanor, which is good for my high anxiety. And he looked me right in the eyes and he told me that I was going to be fine and that I can lead a quote unquote normal life, even if this was MS. So not knowing, you know, what was going on and still like, you know, after our first visit, we still didn't really technically have a diagnosis until that extra fun lumbar puncture that I had done. So when those came back and the results came back and we had a discussion that I, you know, dreaded that the test came back and confirmed that it was multiple sclerosis or MS.
Dr. Stone, what differentiated Mia's case, which seems milder than some more severe cases?
Well, I hate to even use that term because, MS can, it can range from very mild to very severe. But in her case, I wouldn't really call hers mild the way hers started.
Mine was just severe.
Because, it was severe enough for her to go to the hospital. I mean, she had trouble walking. It wasn't just some sensory changes. But generally speaking, you can have a relapse or attack, if you will, from MS that just causes some mild tingling. You know, those are the ones that can sometimes get ignored or, you know, could be interpreted for other conditions like neuropathy and, you know, so they can get missed. People have had symptoms like years and years before that takes years for them to arrive at the right diagnosis.
Yeah. I think what I was referring to was the fact that Mia is not in a wheelchair and, you know, things have turned out in a positive way. And so I think that's what I was looking at when I mentioned that.
Oh, absolutely. No, of course. Yeah. So she's doing great now, as you can tell. And that's the goal. You know, it's not the case for everyone. You know, you don't always fully recover from these attacks. And that's why it is so important that once we establish a diagnosis of MS, there are so many treatment options now. It is one of the most treatable neurologic conditions. They started coming out with treatments in the 90s. The treatment I try to emphasize to people is all about, you know, preventing future symptoms, future attacks like this from happening, because it could be something else next time. If it was your right leg last time, it could be your left leg or your arm next time. But the treatments, they don't undo damage. People are, you know, fortunately, people can recover from the attacks, but you never know when or what the next one could be. But with the treatments that we have available now, it's really possible to have a totally, you know, as a pretty normal, healthy life, as long as you get started on the right treatment early.
What are some of the treatment plans? Certainly medications, but also what are some of the preventive things we can do in terms of nutrition, sleep, exercise?
Yeah, so all of that is very important for, you know, everyone in general, but especially when you have something else like MS working against your body. As far as the MS-specific treatments go, they started coming out in the 90s. They were, you might have heard of like Copaxone, Rebif, you know, some of the interferons, which were the first treatments really commercially available for MS, which were injections that you give yourself. And then as time went on, they developed more and more effective treatments like Tysabri, which is an infusion. They've come out with a lot of oral medications as well. So many that it's like hard to keep track of, to be honest. And then there's biosimilars and generics coming out too. And really in the past 10 years, they've come out with, you know, even more effective treatments, which are a lot of these monoclonal antibodies, Ocrevus, which you might see advertised on television, which is an infusion you get twice a year. Then there's essentially some variations on that, which one of the newer ones that works similarly to Ocrevus that is very effective and well tolerated is actually what Mia is on, is Kesimpta, which is like a shot that you give yourself. It's only once a month and it's pretty easy to do. It's like an EpiPen type thing. You don't see a needle, it's just subcutaneous.
And what does it do?
Yeah, the way it works is it targets a certain type of immune cell called the B cells, and it does, you know, it gets rid of them completely. So all the medications for MS, they do work on your immune system one way or another. But I try to emphasize, you know, that can be scary when patients hear that, but I try to emphasize it's not like chemotherapy. It's not wiping out your entire immune system. Some of the medications are actually just immune modulators where they just alter your immune system in a certain way. Some are considered immune suppressants, like Ocrevus and Kesimpta. They get rid of an immune cell. But you still have other immune cells. There's other lots of other types of immune cells that you have to fight infections. So they're, you know, they're generally well-tolerated, even though they do that's how they work.
Mia, how are you doing now? And what are some of the things you're doing beside medication to help yourself stay strong?
Yeah, definitely. So the treatments that he was just talking about, we did start the monthly injection, which is super easy and it gets delivered right to my house. And I was a little nervous for it because, like you said, there is an immunosuppressant and I work at a pediatric office. So lots of germs going on there. But luckily, knock on wood, I have been fine. We also, when this whole thing, happened, I had a lot of issues with my hands. I was unable to grasp things, hold things. I was unable to pick things up, type, brush my teeth. I couldn't hold things. So he had set me up with occupational therapy at South Coast, and I was able to set up an appointment with a therapist named Kim. Shout out to Kim. She was great. But she had helped me with strengthening my hands, daily exercises to work on, relearning how to do basic movements like brush my teeth, hold a fork, stuff like that. And it really did help a lot. We also discuss natural treatment as well. I am part of a lot of Facebook support groups for MS, and everyone talks about, you have to go keto, you have to go gluten-free, you have to get rid of dairy, you've got to do the Walls protocol, you have to do all these different diets. So I had, went into the appointment with Dr. Stone and I said, which diet am I supposed to be doing? And he said the same thing, just, having like a healthy diet and a healthy lifestyle will go, a long way. So I left there and I cut out all sugar and I cut out mainly all processed foods. And I've added quite a bit of supplements that I take daily, which I did make sure that they were okay before taking them with Dr. Stone. So if you are planning on supplements, make sure that you check with your neurologist or your physician first. But he also talked about exercise and walking and, walking as tolerated, because at the time I wasn't walking very good. So I started off really slow, not being able to walk 2 to 3 steps, but now I'm running 2 to 3 miles a day. So I'm pretty proud of myself for that.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. So body in motion stays in motion. Yeah. So I'm living by that motto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dr. Stone, I want to ask you, Mia was talking about the different programs, the different diet programs. So do you tailor make that according to the patient, or do you say to the patient, listen, see what your body can tolerate? Maybe get off of gluten, maybe get off of dairy, depending on how you feel. Or do you have a special program for each person?
Yeah, I get this question about diet, a lot. And unfortunately, there's a lot of research and there's been a lot of research done on even specific diets, even like intermittent fasting.
Yes.
Or probiotics. Mm-hmm. There's nothing, really 100% proven at this point. And so it's hard to say, you need to cut this particular thing out of your diet. I mean, then we would know part of really what causes MS, right? So I say generally eat healthy, try to exercise. One of my favorite sayings is if you don't use it, you lose it. I mean, it's true for everyone, but even more when you have MS. So it's just about trying to be more conscious and aware of making healthy choices mm-hmm. and being aware of your body.
Yeah. Are there certain foods, though, that are inflammatory that we should stay away from?
Most of the things in this country that we unfortunately get exposed to, probably processed foods, unfortunately, yes, a lot of food probably.
Right. So you're not saying be gluten-free or be dairy-free or vegan. You're saying see how your body tolerates it.
I mean, bottom line is you have to enjoy life. So until we know that this thing in particular causes MS, you know, just moderation mm-hmm. and trying to whole fruits and vegetables, of course, mm-hmm. you know, go to your farmer's market.
Yeah. Mia, how did you decide on your nutritional program? You said you cut out some things like sugar. How did you make that decision?
I do a lot of research. Like I said, I am on quite a bit of Facebook support groups, one being a natural one as well. And I also listen to a lot of podcasts, a lot of health podcasts. So I just kind of, you know, tried different things. And I know, you know, sugar is not good for you. It is pretty much poison. So I just basically told myself every time I saw sugar that it's poison. And I've talked myself into that, which I feel so good after not eating it. And like Dr. Stone said, like, most of our diet is processed foods, and that is not good for you. So I cut those out as well. And I feel better than I was before this diagnosis. So, yeah.
Oh, great. Thank you. And you're running 2 to 3 miles a day, which is
lots of steps.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Terrific. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really terrific. Dr. Stone, in terms of prevention, is there anything we can do to prevent MS or no?
Not really in particular, other than, you know, just generally trying to lead a healthy lifestyle, but it really can affect anyone, mm-hmm. you know, and you never know when it could. So
what about older adults?
Well, it's actually more younger adults. So it affects women to men. We found in a 2-to-3-to-1 ratio, women to men. And it usually starts people age 20s to 30s. It's actually the cause of neurologic disability besides trauma in young people.
And we don't know why it affects young people the most, or do we?
I don't know if anyone really has that answer. It might be, there's this concept of immune senescence, where as we get older, just like many things change as we get older, our immune systems mm-hmm. do get a little weaker as we get older. That's why, you know, much older folks can be more susceptible to like pneumonia, and you get a pneumonia shot and the shingles shot. So you can be more susceptible to infections for that reason. Because MS is an autoimmune disease, and it's almost like your immune system is too active or too good, you know, it's attacking your own body. You know, a lot of times MS, even people with MS, it stabilizes or plateaus as we get older. This is a little controversial still. They're still trying to do research to sort this out. But generally speaking, we don't keep people on these MS drugs forever, because they do work on your immune system, and the risks can, you know, get a little bit higher, you know, risk of infection as you get older. For most people who are stable with their MS, there tends to be a sweet spot around age 60 to 65, very general speaking, where we will, you know, discuss taking people off of the medications if they've been doing well.
Bruce from Middletown, Rhode Island, was no stranger to pain.
I kept hurting my back. Then I found out I have degenerative disc disease. From the age of 15 to the age of 35, I had 12 surgeries. I was in agony, and it was a 3-year period where I deteriorated to the point that I couldn't stand up. And I wanted to give up.
Then Bruce met with a neurosurgeon at South Coast Health.
Very impressed with him, his honesty, and he told me what he was going to do.
South Coast Health is nationally recognized for superior outcomes in spine surgery and neurosurgery. To find the right South Coast physician for you, call 844-744-5544 or go to southcoast.org.
I can't tell you how much of a difference it's made in my life. Not to be in pain. It's phenomenal. Life is good.
South Coast Health, more than medicine.
Mia, what would you say to someone who's listening to this, who's either just found out they got MS, or they're worried about it or concerned, or it might be in their family and they've not been feeling well lately? What would your advice be to them?
So basically, yeah, if the first diagnosis of this is really tough and it's shocking. But I would say, you know, now, before I would say that MS had ruined my life completely and I was never going to do anything that I loved again. But now, you know, it's so much better. I have so much more life to me. Physically, MS is really tough, but mentally it's absolutely dreadful. I was so anxious and I had slipped into a dark depression and I was crying daily. And it's such a unique disease to everybody. And yeah. You don't know what direction it will take you. And the uncertainty is kind of what kills you. But once you get control of your emotions and realize that it's going to take time, but most likely you're going to get better with hard work and dedication and a lifestyle change. Yeah. You'll adapt to kind of your quote unquote new normal. I know it sounds crazy and I know it does, but the diagnosis to me was kind of a blessing in disguise. I wasn't taking care of myself. Yeah.
That was my question. My question was going to be what's the gift in all this?
Right.
You know, what was the lesson and what has made you stronger?
Yeah. Yeah. So I feel so incredibly grateful that I can sit here and I can say how good I'm doing, you know, and I do know how lucky I am about that. But it's just, I want people to know that, you know, if you're newly diagnosed to this, it's not the end of your life. And that's honestly what I thought. You know, I thought it was the end of my life. But honestly, it's kind of the beginning of mine now. So yeah, I kind of feel, you know, it's like a blessing in disguise. So yeah.
Yeah. No, Dr. Stone, I was going to ask you why you went into this particular specialty of MS, but I think Mia just gave one of the answers.
Yeah, it's you know, it is very nerve-wracking. And I mean, it's young people, you know, we think we're invincible. We don't take any medications, probably. And then something like this can happen. And it's a whole like mindset shift. But being able to guide people through that and make them realize it's going to be okay, especially, you know, it's one of the most treatable conditions. I mean, the medications we have and that are still coming out are so good, you know, compared to 20, 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that initially brought my attention to MS was my grandmother had, you know, MS in the 80s. And I never really got to know her because she actually passed away from complications from her MS. She had it very severely. And there was no treatment when she had it. So, you know, but that's a complete 180 from where it was. So it's much different now.
Mm. Closing thoughts, Dr. Stone, what would you like to leave our listeners with today about multiple sclerosis?
I think always listen to your body. Never be ashamed to, you know, bring up symptoms that you're having, even if you think, you know, it's probably nothing. You know, it's never wrong to get checked out. And, you know, ask your doctor and, well, you know, even if most of the time it's nothing, it's okay. Then, you know, I don't want people to feel dismissed ever by the medical community, which I know we get a bad rap for sometimes, but, you know, just be an advocate for yourself and, you know, we do our best to deal with what comes. And with MS, we have a lot of tools at our disposal now to really help people.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Mia, your closing thoughts. What would you like to leave listeners with?
Yeah, so one, I would like to say thank you to Dr. Stone. When this whole thing started, every single person I talked to was like, you have to go to Boston. Boston has the best doctors. You have the best doctors there in Boston. So I explained to them that I have this incredible doctor, neurologist, who listens to my concerns, calms my crazy, and is literally just down the street. So his staff are wonderful and so caring, and there's this amazing care so close to home, and I'm so, so grateful for that. And I feel like forever grateful to Dr. Stone in South Coast Neurology for being so amazing. So yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on this podcast. And just again, you know, if you are newly diagnosed, your life is not over. You can still live this amazing life. I was so nervous too that I was never going to be able to travel again. And I just came back last week from the Virgin Islands and I had a very successful trip and I felt great. So you can live your life and you are going to be just fine. Just find a great neurologist like I did.
Thank you so much. Thank you both for such an informational inspirational and uplifting interview today, Dr. Joshua Stone and Mia Hardman. That wraps up this edition of the Healthy Aging Podcast at South Coast Health. I'm Patricia Raskin. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to Healthy Aging with South Coast Health. To subscribe to this podcast, visit www.southcoast.org/healthy-aging. While you are there, we want to hear from you. Please take the time to complete a quick survey so we can learn more about the topics for upcoming episodes that you are most interested in to live a healthy lifestyle. Thank you to our hosts, Patricia Raskin and South Coast Health. This podcast is brought to you by creative content developer Raskin Resources Productions and produced by Virtually You.